Hello and good evening. This is Coco Izzy of BibleStudyMinistry.com. Wanted to just, do a live recording. Usually do the text lessons, and we're trying to keep up with technology and keep up with the ages by actually, going into new things like the audio and the video lessons, which we have coming. Plus, just want everybody to, know that we're real people, we're real Bible studiers and real, Bible students and servants of God. And, we just wanted to help share the goodness of God with everybody using the internet, which is, of course, a growing and huge phenomenon when it comes to sharing information. And like I said, my name is Coco Izzy. I'm a Bible teacher and an author. And one of the things that drove me to this level was just the overall. I always had a great fear of God, the great fear of the unknown. I always was looking for the truth. I always was hoping for, just to get some clarity and some understanding in the Word of God, not just the Word of God, but in the world, wanting to know what was going on. And what really brought me close to it was when one of my close friends that I met in college, we were very close. He kind of took care of me in a lot of things, and I, when he actually passed away, died while we were, while playing basketball. And that just really shook me up. It really, made me really, even though I had people pass away and get killed in my life prior to that, I mean, these were people that I just known, went to school with. But when you actually live with somebody, know them, touch them, hug them, and every day, and then something tragic like that happens to them, I mean, it really does shake you up a little bit. And when you're without understanding, it really does even a worse job in shaking you up. And that was at the point where I really just started asking God questions. I was at a low point. What happens after life? What do we do next? Where are we doing? What are we doing here? What's going on? When am I going to see my friend, my pal next? And these questions were rampant, and I started really asking those questions sincerely and deeply and detailedly. Where, I wasn't just asking like, hey, this, but I really wanted the answers. I was really looking for it. I was asking the universe. I was asking Jesus. I was asking anybody that can, that can bring the answer back to me. And from that, about a week or 2 weeks later, after his passing, the answer dropped on my lap. I really learned the answer. I found out a whole lot of things that were really going on in the world. And just answering that question about what happens next, what happens to the dead, what happened, when is the next time I'm going to see this guy, that answering that question, a whole lot of other questions got answered. It led to me studying the Bible relentlessly for a long period of time, and even after another tragedy, it helped. It made me really study the Bible and really get to understand what God was really doing, what the God of the Bible was doing out here. And that's when, I formulated this book and really started to unravel a lot of the mysteries that I know that I struggle with in the Bible, these seven topics that, in my opinion, a lot of Christians believe. And so with that, I just wanted to give some backdrop, some understanding on who I am, what Bible study ministry is all about, what we're trying to do on the internet. And we definitely look forward and want a lot of people's support. And I know a few people have the opportunity to buy the book and support us and read the book and understand a lot of the things we had, and we appreciate that. And we just want to continue to move forward and share as much as we can, because the goodness of God is upon us all. We just haven't all recognized it. So with today being one of the first audio lessons that I've done in a very long time, I wanted to get to a couple questions. Like a few months back, I had posted some questions to our subscriber list. So if you're not on the subscriber list, I would suggest you get on the list. We send emails out during the week, sometimes emails that don't make the blog. We send emails out, you first should know about each weekly lesson and things of that nature. So if you're not on the list and you're just reading this on the website, I'm listening to this on the website for the first time, I would highly suggest that you get on that list, because we, prophetic emails are coming out. We have a lot of associations with different churches and different teachers that you'll learn more about. So I would suggest you get on that list. And we don't spam, we don't bombard you with emails. We just send you things that we know will edify you. And if that's good, then that's good. But some time ago, we did send out emails about what lessons, subjects, studies that people wanted to learn more about, or at least see what the biblical point of view that we've studied on it. And With that, we came to a whole bunch of things were sent in from our subscribers list that we already have, and we appreciate all that for everybody that did take the time to write a little bit of a question or two, because this is what it's all about, learning the word of God, right? So we did I have answered a few of these, and some of the other guys that write for me have answered some of these, but we're still going through them, and today I wanted to just address a couple more. I think that some that we'll get to in the near future, get to some of the questions. And today we just want to kind of look at a couple of questions that I'll address here. And one is, how is Christianity relevant in today's world? And this is a very good question. I thought about it for quite a while, and just looking at the question, I was wondering, I don't know exactly what angle the person that left the question is coming at, but I know that there's a lot of ways in answering this. A few other questions we'll deal with, probably not in this audio, because I wanted to keep this one brief, just so I don't, drown everybody in being too long. I know brevity is very good when you're dealing with things, but you do want to be thorough. But the Lord's return and feast days is one that will come up to the priesthood and what the breastplate represents. We'll get to, and also Daniel's chapter 11 broken down as another one, and also marriage and adultery. I think that these are very good topics that either during the week, they might not be Sabbath day lessons, because I do have some planned out, but we know right now we want to get to as many as we can, and answering these questions I think are pretty much straightforward. That Daniel chapter 11 broken down is one of those that might be a Sabbath day lesson, because it's very extensive. It's a very important chapter in the Bible when it comes to prophecy and what's really going on right about now. So just to start off, how is Christianity relevant in today's world? And this is a good question. This is a good question, because sometimes we get into our lives and you're wondering, why is this important to us? Why do we have to, deal with Christianity? Well, I'll start by saying this. Christianity, with 6 billion, roughly 6 billion, or however many we're at, people on the earth currently, one third of them are Christians. So you're talking about 2 billion people who are self-proclaiming Christians, who associate themselves as Christians. And that is a large number of people. I mean, that is a large number of people. And when you think about the story of Christianity, where it started from and where it's going and where it went. Now, Christianity, people like to think Christianity started with Jesus, but that's not where Christianity started from. The name Christianity may have started with Jesus, but Christianity started with Moses and the church that they had in the Bible. Now, to really understand how Christianity is relevant today is because everything in the Bible is based on Jesus. Everything from Genesis to Revelations, everything is based on Jesus and what his plan is for his creation. We are his creation. So when you look at why is it relevant in today's world, everybody in today's world is part of prophecy. You see, some time ago there was a lesson that we did called The Story of the Bible, Part 1 and Part 2, and it really just broke down exactly what the whole story of the Bible is. When Abraham, who was one of the forefathers of Christianity, when he was living, he actually believed God. I think God approached a lot of people that some just did not believe, and Abraham was one of those that believed. He got up and moved his family out of Ur and traveled all the way to the land of Canaan, where the Lord wanted him to go, and said, "I'm going to give this land to your descendants." And not just the land of Canaan, but also the land, a lot of surrounding land around there. You go into Genesis, I don't know the chapter off the top of my head, but I'll definitely provide it for you either down in the links. Abraham was promised a large amount of land. I mean, it stretches all the way towards the Euphrates River. It goes as north almost as almost into the northern part of Europe. It goes as deep as into the southern part of Saudi Arabia, and even as east as the Mediterranean Sea. So he was promised a lot of land, and that's just not for the children of Israel. That's for all of Abraham's descendants. You got the Arabs, and you got the Jewish people, and you got a lot of people who were promised this land. Each people were promised their own section. It just so happens that when the children of Israel disobeyed the Lord, he had removed them from the land. And so what happened, why Jewish people have moved in the land, you get the Arabs that also moved in the land, and they have kind of agreed not to mention who the land actually belongs to. But over time, the Arabs have gotten a little bit more, they've gotten a little bit more hasty in what they wanted out of this deal. And the Jewish people have come back in and realized that the Bible speaks of Israel. And since they took on the name Jewish people, they're the closest related to Israel, and they want the land. So that is relevant to us right now, because you got ancient people who know their originality to Abraham, to Ishmael, to Esau, to everybody in the old Bible days, and they're all wrestling over this land that was promised to their forefather, who is the forefather to Christianity, Abraham. So the Bible, how is Christianity relevant today? It's because through Abraham, everybody that believes on Christ will be spiritual children of Abraham. And if you're a seed of Abraham, that means you're a Christian. If you're a Christian and you're living in today's world, you have an inheritance coming. You have an inheritance coming from the Lord. And if you are able to focus in and be obedient to the words of God, then you are going to put yourself in position to rightfully claim your inheritance on the earth. So Christianity is very important, because people are fighting over things, and a lot of Christians have missed this point because, quite frankly, Christianity has been mistaught by a lot of ministers today. And it's not that they're doing it on purpose. Some are on purpose, some are not on purpose. Some are just filling in and going to school and learning what is being taught to them. However, when you look at Christianity, the thing has been flipped upside down, where what we're given sometimes in Christianity has absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. You couldn't find it. Even if you read every syllable of the Bible, you couldn't find some of the things that we're taught to practice today, because it's just not there. And that's why Christianity is relevant today, because this is why Jesus gives strong warnings about he and who endures to the end shall be saved. When you shall see the abomination of desolation flee, know that there's a time coming on the earth that's going to get really hard out here for everybody. It's called a great tribulation, and all these things are relevant to us today. In fact, the Jewish brothers and sisters are getting ready to build a temple and getting ready to start animal sacrifice. They have the priesthood back in rotation, and a lot of these things are written in biblical prophecy. And if you don't know this, then Christianity may not seem relevant to you today. But the message of Christianity was to love your brother as you love yourself, love your fellow neighbor as you love yourself, love your God with all your might. This is the message of Christianity, and this is why it's still relevant today. We're not like, you know, Christians are not supposed to be like some of the other religions out here, where if you're not a Christian, I'm gonna kill you. If you're not a Christian, I don't like you. If you're not a Christian, get out of my face. Christianity is one of those where we can all actually coexist. However, towards the end, hey, some people are going to get snuffed out, because he said, let them, the wheat, grow with the tares. Meaning, hey, my job here is to teach you what my God wants. And if you don't want to hear it, don't listen. You can change the station, you can change the website, you can change the channel. However, I have to teach people, because I got to teach the people who are looking for this guy. He said, his sheep know his voice, and his voice is the truth. So now, if you are somebody that doesn't believe in Christianity, I'm not going to shun you away. We can go to the ball game, we can go hang out, we just won't talk about the Bible. However, through my behavior and through the ways I do things is supposed to represent God, in so much that you are so impressed or so taken aback by the way that I conduct myself, that you say, man, you know what? I don't know what you do, I don't know who you're serving, but I like you. And because I like you, I'm gonna listen to you until the time is right. So Christianity is very important today. If you can't reach somebody through the words of God, reach them through your behavior, and be that person that they look at and say, wow, you know, this person is a stand-up person. This person has a lot of integrity. This person is fair. This person is loving. This person is caring. And if that's what you have, then that's wow, Christianity is going to be relevant today. But Christianity is, if you look around, everything has to do with Christianity. Wars are fought over religion and Christianity. People that will kill people just to make sure they don't send Bibles into their country, they don't teach about Jesus in their country. And for a person to have that much room 2,000 years later to have, not want people to enter in this country, you gotta say this is very relevant. It's very relevant into the world. You just gotta understand the history of it. And people, Christians, pastors, anybody that's not willing to learn the history of Christianity, not starting with Mary and Jesus, but the history starting back even a little bit past Moses, then they're not really qualified to teach or to share anything about Christianity because it's the history that tells us the present and leads us into the future. So I'm gonna leave it at that right now. If there needs to be more to that question, just send me an email. But I think that that's as much as I can really touch on. It's very relevant in today's world because one, there's 2 billion Christians on the earth. So moving into the next question that I probably can touch on in this audio is not the Lord's return, because we touched on that a few weeks back when we said is the world going to end soon. But the feast day meeting. Somebody put a question in that said, what are the meaning of the feast days? In Leviticus chapter 23, the Lord lays out 7 annual Sabbath days. These are just like the weekly Sabbath days, except for they're annual. So you only come around once a year, and they're on their specific time in their seasons. It starts out with the Passover, which is just a regular day. Okay, it's the Passover. Then the immediately after the Passover, the very next day, the 14th day is the Passover, and the 15th day is the feast of first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of Unleavened Bread is a festival that goes 7 days. The first day is a Sabbath day, and the seventh day is a Sabbath day. And then the Sabbath after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you count 7 Sabbaths, and 7 times 7 is 49. And the day after the 49th day is the 50th day, which is Pentecost. Pentecost means 50, but this is actually called the Feast of Weeks, and that is a Sabbath day. So that's your third Sabbath day of all the Lord's feast days. And the Pentecost actually is the year of Jubilee. It is the year in which the Lord will return to the earth. And then towards the end of the year, you got the Memorial Blowing of Trumpets, which we just had. And Memorial Blowing of Trumpets is a memorial to remind everybody that the Lord is going to come back at the sound of the trumpets. And when the trumpets are blown, certain things are going to happen on the earth. And then on that seventh trumpet, the Lord is coming down to the earth, and he's going to raise the dead and change the living who are righteous, and they're going to meet him in air and come down to the earth. And then that's a Sabbath day, so that's the fourth one. And then the fifth Sabbath day is the actual Day of Atonement. It's the finishing of the atonement of sins. That is a Sabbath day, so that's the fifth. And then the sixth Sabbath day of the year is the Feast of Tabernacles, which is again is a 7-day feast. First day is a Sabbath day, and so that's the sixth day of the year. That's a Sabbath day. And then the last Sabbath of the year is the eighth great day. Now, I'm not going to go into every single detail about what all those days represent or what they mean, but the Passover is the Passover. This represents you covering yourself in the blood of Jesus. The Old Testament, before Jesus came, they used a lamb, and that's how they covered themselves in the blood of Jesus. Now we have Jesus, who became the actual sacrifice. We cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus by being baptized and for repentance of sins and walking righteously and holy. The Feast of Unleavened Bread represents being without sin. Jesus told us the leavening of the heresies, the leavening represents sin. So we're supposed to be leaven free. It means sin free for 7 days in the flesh. This represents the 7 days that the Lord has given man to exist in a man form. And then you move to the, like I said, the Pentecost, which represents the year he's free. Everybody becomes the year he returns, which represents everybody becoming free. You're free from your sin once the Lord comes back and recovers you, if you make the first resurrection. And then the Memorial Blowing Trumpets blows the trumpets. Here comes the coming of the King, and here comes the end of this age as we know it. The Day of Atonement is the actual day his feet will hit the ground, hit the Mount of Olives. And the Feast of Tabernacles is really the Feast of Ingathering. This is when he's going to gather all his people. And the eighth day represents going from man to God. This is where we go actually into the Father's kingdom, the kingdom of God. Man has been given 7 days. That's why we have a 7-day week. You rest on that 7-day. That 7th day represents Jesus coming back to this earth, reigning on the earth for 1,000 years. And the 8th day, the 8th great day, is the day where we actually go into that marriage of the Lamb in the Father's kingdom. So these are the meaning of these festivals. These are the holy days that show us the Lord's plan. And that's why it's important to keep these. If you don't keep these and learn about them, then you don't know what the Lord is doing. And if you keep pagan holidays such as Halloween, such as Christmas, such as Easter, and everything else that they try to relate or associate with Jesus, you are missing out on the big picture. Keep, even if Christmas was Jesus' birthday, it is not something that the Lord said, remember. So, great time of the year. Giving, the spirit, of course, is good, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. So the holy days, the feast days, are what Jesus requires for his people to keep. And that's what they mean. They have all have meaning. There should be lessons posted up on these. If not, when they come around, I'll definitely teach on them and write about them. There are good books out there about, and some people have written, and I can refer you to some of those if you don't want to wait for the lesson to come around. Just definitely shoot me an email. But those are what we want to talk about in today's lesson. Earlier this week, I did post a lesson on the beauty of Psalm 25, and that's what I'll really end with for this week. And hope this was insightful for you. I hope it felt it's good to hear my voice, and it's good to do this because I think it helps me explain a little bit more. And in the future, of course, we'll get back to doing Bible lessons. But in Psalm 25, a lot of things were very interesting that I wrote about. And if you didn't see that lesson, you can see it on the site, just or you can just type it into the search realm, Psalms 25. But this psalm was very important, and one thing that really made me want to share on it was verse 14 in Psalm 25. It said, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." And once you learn the ways of Jesus, now your mind and your body will dwell at ease, because you'll be at peace, and your children will inherit the earth. And this is because the secret of Jesus is with those who fear Him. If you don't fear Jesus, there's no point in Him showing you His covenant, which is His Ten Commandments and a lot of the things He teaches you to keep. So we have to start to learn that fear. In verse 12 it says, "What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach the way he shall choose." So Jesus will teach those who fear Him. And it's not a fear like you're just cluttering in your boots and you're just shaking all day, wondering if the Lord's just going to smack you across your head like He's some kind of a bully. What it is an awe and a reverence. You look up in the sky and you say, "This is amazing." You look up and you see tornadoes and things happening. You say, This being is powerful. This is a powerful God we serve." And if you can get there, then you'll understand the fear of God, and you will know to turn from evil. And turning from evil is keeping that covenant, which is the Ten Commandments. Loving God with all your heart, and loving your fellow brothers and sisters with all your heart, and treating them just like you want to be treated. So with that, I want to say God bless you. Thank you just for tuning in. Leave comments. Real comments will keep up there. These are helpful as conversations, a dialogue. Other people may see your question and get an answer back from it. So leave comments and share the site with other people. I mean, I don't think it's that hard to do, especially with all the share buttons. And this is your way of helping to spread the ministry. So I want to thank you. God bless you. I appreciate you. And hopefully there'll be more audio lessons and even video lessons, so that this whole thing appears even more real to you, in the name of Jesus. Until next time, y'all, I pray my strength in the Lord, and I pray your strength in the Lord, and we will walk into the kingdom of God together. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name.